Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of WA This Week. An interesting week in politics. No parliament for the lower house, but my upper house colleagues have been sitting in the week. Look, I took some time to attend the nurses' rally this week. Some of you may have seen in the media, in the newspaper, there were over 2,500 nurses that attended a rally in the convention centre, and they were discussing the issues that they face, but also talking about negotiations that they're having with the government over their new pay, and not just pay arrangements, but their working arrangements in the hospital. You know, it was really, interesting but distressing to hear the stories of nurses at that rally. I attended just to listen and to hear what was going on and find out how the nurses felt and the midwives felt about how they're being treated in the hospitals and their workload. And to be frank, it was distressing to hear their stories. I mean, these weren't sort of a rabble-rousing, you know, unionists just there for self-interest. The people I spoke with were really just caring, genuine people who deeply cared about the welfare of their patients. And you could physically feel the stress that they're feeling, the anguish that they're feeling. They're trying to cope with a hospital system that is collapsing, and that's not too dramatic a statement. What we're hearing is that in particular the senior staff are so dreadfully overworked in the hospitals. Janet Ray, who's the secretary of the Australian Nurses Federation, which covers nurses and midwives in hospitals, I think she put it really well. She said there seems to be an attitude of the government that nurses and midwives are just a cost, instead of regarding them as a critical asset for our state. And the point she made was, if nurses and midwives are well-treated, well-trained and well-rested, that is the best possible outcome for our health system, because that means those nurses and midwives can give patients the care that they need and the care that they want to give. What we heard was that nurses and midwives effectively aren't getting any additional training. So that means the new staff coming on, the graduates coming on, aren't getting the training time. But in particular, the more senior staff have to have continued training. You'd know that the health system now is a very high-tech and complex area, and you have to have continued training. There's no time for it. The staff that are supposed to be allocated to training are in fact on the wards all of the time. We heard about wards perpetually understaffed. There are in fact online Facebook and other apps. The staff are constantly receiving requests and messages to come in and do additional shifts. They're not getting the breaks, they're not getting the rest. And as I say, the distress was tangible. You know, I guess one of the aspects that disturbed me most about that rally, you would think that that's an opportunity for the government to come along and actually listen firsthand to what the nurses and midwives are experiencing. You know, not just sitting at a negotiating table around an enterprise bargaining agreement, but actually come there and listen. Do you know, I was the only parliamentarian, the only politician at that meeting. The health minister didn't bother to turn up. There wasn't one single Labor member of parliament at that rally. Because, and to be frank, what it indicates is they don't care. They think this is just some other negotiation. We all know that that health system is crucial for the well-being of our community, for our loved ones. We've got a Labor government that doesn't care. They're just seeing this as some transactional type arrangement. We've got a health minister, to be frank, who clearly has no idea whatsoever of what's actually going on in the hospitals. When I'm in parliament, what I hear from the health minister, Amber Jade Sanderson, is that everything's fine, everything's going well, they've got all of these extra people. And I say to the minister, go and talk to the nurses and midwives, not just to senior union people, go and actually talk to the people and do the work. And I don't see how you could come away from any discussion and not say, you know what, I need to change what I'm doing, I need urgent action to deal with this issue. I think everyone obviously has the greatest respect for nurses and midwives, but the way they're being treated by this state government is quite disgraceful. This week in Parliament, my colleague Libby Metham and my upper house colleague, the Honourable Steve Thomas, were at a launch of an e-petition, and I'll explain that a little bit, for a royal commission into the state's health system. As I've just explained, it's very, very clear that our health system is not getting better. In fact, we're going from a crisis situation to something worse. And Aishwarya Ashwath's father, and I think many of you would know that Aishwarya Ashwath unfortunately died when she was attending Perth Children's Hospital to be treated, and there was an inquiry into that. Aishwarya's father, Mr. Ashwath, is concerned that our health system is not in good shape and that there needs to be a fundamental look at that system. Not a royal commission, and he's not asking for a royal commission into his own daughter's, you know, tragic death. He's asking for a royal commission into the health system generally, and because he genuinely doesn't want parents and other people to experience the anguish that he and his wife have experienced over the death of their daughter. And I think that's a very reasonable call from Mr. Ashwath. And I thank my colleagues, Libby Metam and Dr. Steve Thomas, for launching that petition. I think it's very important. As I said, I think this government is in fact ignorant of what's really going on in the hospitals. I think they're listening to bureaucrats, they're talking to people at a very high level. They don't know what's going on the shop floor in hospitals. They don't know what nurses and midwives are experiencing. And we need a royal commission that looks at that overall. How have we got to this situation? But much, much more importantly, what do we need to do going forward to make sure that Western Australia once again has the world's best health system, and that you can be confident when you go to the hospital, you'll get the best treatment that is possibly available in a timely manner. So look, if you want to sign the petition, I'll actually be putting a link on my Facebook page, and so you'll be able to find it there. Otherwise, if you just go and Google WA Health System Royal Commission Petition, or WA Health System Royal Commission Petition, I think that would do it. But if you look up that, you can see that in the Legislative Council, there's a link to an e-petition, as they call it. That petition will go through till March next year. And look, we're really hoping everyone who's concerned about the health system, please go on, please add your name to it. I think it's really important. You know, numbers do count, and let's get the message through to this deaf Labor government that there is a real problem and that you want a genuine look at how we do things better than are being done now. This week, my colleague, the Honourable Peter Collier, discovered some very interesting information. He'd heard from the police that the G2G data was going to be held onto by government forever. And he thought, well, I need to check this out. You get told lots of things when you're in Parliament, and most of the time it's true, but sometimes it's just a rumour. So he asked a question in Parliament, and that was, what were the government's intentions with the G2G data that had been collected? So that's the good-to-go data for passes. Now, just to take you back a little bit, the good-to-go system, that was the system you had to use if you were going to move out of the state or into the state. And if you recall, the information that was recorded on that system was very personal information. So obviously your name, but it's your address, all of your contact details, identification details, passport, driver's license details, but also all of your personal travel details, where you're travelling from to, where you've travelled to recently, and the like. Now, what possible purpose can it serve for the government to keep that data forever? What we've heard in the answer to the question, the police were going to actually keep the data themselves for 25 years, and then the data would then go on to the state records office and be kept forever. Now, you know, if the government's learnt nothing out of the recent Optus saga, surely it has to be that when you keep large bodies of data like that, and in this case, personal identifying data, I mean, this is data that could be used to steal your identity, with all of the issues that come from that, where people could make commitments on your behalf and have you in an invidious financial situation or otherwise scam you. you know, you're hanging on to that data. There's a possibility, as happened with Optus, and as we've seen, in fact, in a number of areas, that data can be misused or accessed and misused by other people. But let's, you know, even if that weren't the case, why does the government need this data? Government should only keep this sort of personal information if it's absolutely required. Now, that was required when people were travelling. It's not required now. It's definitely not required in 25 years' time. And why it would be kept forever is utterly beyond my comprehension. You know, we've got a government that seems to be obsessed with control, obsessed with, you know, having your information and the like. But, you know, this is wrong. The government doesn't need to do this. This data shouldn't be kept. Now, Minister Papalia is hiding behind it. He's saying, oh, well, no, this is just a standard thing. And because the information was collected by the police, then there's a legal requirement to keep it. Well, I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but let's say it is. Then the government can, with a very simple piece of legislation, get this data, pass a law so that this data is not kept, that it doesn't have to be kept. They can do that very readily. I mean, the Alliance opposition have cooperated with the government all along the way when they've wanted to make sensible changes like this. Some of you may recall that the police were using the SafeWA app data for police purposes. Now, the government said when they developed that app that it was never going to be used for any purpose other than to monitor where people were going, and this was again at the start of the pandemic. And then ultimately it transpired the police were using that to track people and the like. And the government properly said, look, that's not what it was intended for. That's not what we told the people when we introduced it. So they introduced legislation to Parliament. We passed that legislation immediately. We didn't delay it at all. And the government could do that very quickly. They can do that for this G2G data. They can protect your private information that they literally do not need. There is no useful purpose for this. It's not proper that the government should keep it. And the government should introduce that legislation. They have the absolute guarantee of the opposition that we'll give our wholehearted support for them to rapidly pass legislation so that your personal data isn't being kept by the police from that G2G system. Look, thank you very much for listening to the podcast this week. Don't forget, you can subscribe on any of your podcast platforms. If you just look up WA This Week, or you look up my name, you'll access that. You can also access the video version of this on Facebook, Spotify or YouTube just by searching Dr. David Honey. Look, please share the information. We've got a nice growing audience, and it's really good to get the message out, and I guess to get an opportunity to get a longer version of some of these issues out to you that people won't hear on the 30-second grabs on the nightly news. And otherwise, please give me some feedback. Really, really appreciate the feedback. It's really great. Any suggestions for what we might do, very welcome as well. Thank you very much.